Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was a little disheartened this morning when I had the TV on and was hearing the weather broadcaster saying that we are possibly going to be hit with another nor'easter this week on the first day of spring. Well, I looked at the bright side. I did receive a seed and plant catalog this week in the mail, so that really got my imagination going. And I know it's not warm out yet, but gardeners have a tendency to rush planting season. But we do need to be realistic about it. Only certain flowers thrive in the early part of the growing season when the nighttime temperatures hover around freezing or below. There are pansies and tulips and daffodils coming up around, and they will thrive. Some seeds like to be sown in those colder temperatures, while other varieties prefer warmer soil. Each year, Mike and I attempt to grow morning glory vines and moonflowers at the base of our mailbox. And through trial and error, we have found that the seeds need to be started early, or the resulting plants end up blooming much too late in the summer for us to enjoy. But we don't just bury the seeds and expect results. We have found that the hard shells of seeds sometimes need some special care before planting. The outer shell must be cut or nicked gently with a knife, and then we place them in a bowl of water overnight. That cutting opens up the outer membrane and allows the moisture to soak into the core of the seed, the germ layer, its growing area. And the seed would still grow if it was placed directly into the soil without nicking, but they appear to emerge from the ground with sturdier stems if they're prepared ahead of time for their underground journey. We've learned a lot over the years about the idiosyncrasies of certain seeds and seedlings. Some seeds need to be kept moist, while some need to be kept dry. Some like cool soil, while others like soil that has been heated, either by mulch or dark plastic or perhaps a cold frame. Some seeds sprout in a matter of days, and some take years. In fact, I once read that pine trees, well, their germination can be stretched over many years because it must be triggered by specific environmental stimuli like heat from forest fires. So what's that got to do with anything today in our gospel? Well, Jesus liked to use homey parables because he knew the people understood what was going on in those parables, particularly ones having to do with agriculture. For us, I'd like to say that spiritual growth takes place in similar ways. We go through stretches of time in our lives that seem to be relatively uneventful, just coasting along, as it were. And then our lives are upended by suffering, either our own or that of a loved one. And as much as we would like to think otherwise, that sorrow and pain or loss are unavoidable. They are inevitable parts of life. How can we ever say that God made a mistake in allowing hardships? But dare I remind you that God does not cause those hardships. I've noted that it's often only by going through such fiery trials that our outer nature, our protective shells, our hardened hearts and minds are able to be broken open, to be made attentive and available for God's use. And at those times, we are brought face to face with our limitations and our need for our Savior. Some people would refer to this time as hitting rock bottom, or reaching the end of their rope, or hitting the wall. And I say that if we are willing to enter into the hardships and trials, not turning and running, not losing ourselves or distracting ourselves in addictions, we can learn a lot about ourselves, about others, and about God. Suffering and sorrow have the ability of removing shallowness from our lives. There's no guarantee that those afflicted will come out a better person. For some people, hardships make them bitter and angry. Yet those who enter into such trials with humility and allow the fires of sorrow to purge them emotionally and spiritually Well, they arise from the ashes to be used by God as nourishment for others in their time of need. But the key word here is humility. We need to recognize that any goodness that comes as a result of the purging is not about us, no matter how much we have suffered. It is about Jesus. It is not about our individual attractive personalities, about how charming or persuasive we are, but rather that we are Christians and followers of Jesus. It's not about glorifying ourselves to gain attention from others. Jesus says we are to lift up only him. It then becomes about what Jesus does through us when we offer ourselves to his service in meekness and in humility. It is all about dying to self. How we handle and respond to adversity bears witness to those around us to how much we have allowed Jesus to impact our lives. If we set out to serve a cause, focusing on only meeting the needs of others, we all know that we will eventually burn out. We know that it's virtually impossible to please everyone. But if we love God and passionately offer ourselves to God's service with our focus solely on him, we no longer are impacted by the potential ingratitude of others. We will desire to serve others, but our devotion to the ministry at hand is centered on pleasing Jesus. That is how we become like a grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies. Eventually, it will spring up through the power of the Holy Spirit and change the entire landscape. Jesus needed to die for us to have eternal life. He knew that death was the only way through to life. Ultimately, we must physically die to gain entry into eternal life. We cannot get there in these mortal bodies. We cannot move forward in life dragging a corpse behind us. Not only does it slow us down, but we are forced to focus on something that has long since lost its life, its vitality, its usefulness, and it holds us in the past. We end up stuck in the mire of yesterday's. How can we accept and move into something new if we're holding on to something else that's old? We need to let go. I remember years ago saying to my mother that I recognized that my father had changed over many decades. That from a very stern, dictatorial type of military man that he was for his whole life, that he had become a relative mushy pussycat, a lover, a kind and compassionate man. None of us is who we were yesterday, last year, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago. And for that, I'm personally thankful, because God continually calls all of us to new life. For that matter, our diocese and St. John's are not what they were yesterday, last year, 10 years ago, or 50 years ago. God continuously calls his body, the church, to new life. To remain in the past, to be stuck inside the shell of old ways of being, thinking, and acting, to allow all of that to define us is to ignore the loving call of God who continually seeks to recreate new life, God's kingdom. Our God is the God of change and growth, the God of new life who will not allow any part of creation to stagnate. Where you are uncomfortable now is the starting place, the seed, just waiting to be set out for new growth. The gospel continually speaks of the life-giving force that brings about rebirth through regeneration, through forgiveness, through acceptance, through God's purging flames of love. Here we are on the fifth Sunday in Lent. We look ahead to the beginning of Holy Week and Palm Sunday next week. And it's a good time to reflect over your prayers, your reflections, your spiritual insights, all that have been gracing you during the season of Lent. Where do you see and feel the confining shells of your life being tested? What old stories, old grudges, old prejudices, old attitudes, places of unforgiveness, where do you see how they encapsulate you and confine you from growing in Christ? What do you need to allow to die or to be shed in order to enter the new life in Christ? What needs to give way so that you can embrace God's giving sacrifice for you, so that you as well can be giving in your service to others? Those are all questions for us to reflect on in this final week, as this final week leads up to next Sunday in the beginning of Holy Week and Jesus' Passion. Amen.
Amen.